The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
When it was Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in the book. But these others are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I'm glad to be back with you all again. It's kind of like a homecoming when I come back. I feel kind of comfortable here, so I hope you enjoy our time together as well. So I have a wonder. Can you imagine Easter was only 1 week ago? In some ways, it seems like it was a long time ago. I mean, since then we've had some severe weather. I had hail down my way by Columbus, Dublin. Tornadoes have danced around. Spring break has happened. Some of the families have gone on vacation. And you know, children perhaps a week ago were immersed in chocolate candies and Easter bunnies. A lot has happened in a week's time. How about in your life? I know a lot has happened in my life personally. Just one short little week ago, the bells played, the choirs sang, we shouted out our resurrection chant. You know the one I'm talking about, right? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You guys are good at that. Good, good, good. So my wonder is Easter filled with all of the hype that the preachers said last week? Has new revelation, has new life and new hope, possibility become a reality for you this week? Have things changed since Easter Sunday rising? Or have we gone back to the same old routines as if Easter was just a day to celebrate and now everything's back on the way it was? Do we hold fast in the innermost depths of our heart and love for God the celebration of Easter? Has Easter become a thing that has come and gone? Or is it something that remains holding us in a way of really anticipating, watching for ways of resurrection and new life in our lives? Last week, we saw many things, right? We saw that the women, and it's almost like the singing group, you know? We had Peter, and we had Mary, we didn't have Paul, we had John run to the tomb. They didn't look in. I mean, they looked in, but they didn't go in. And then it says they went home to the upper room. They'd locked themselves there out of fear. Do we ever get locked in anything out of fear? This Easter season, I am so humbled by the amazing grace of God. I have to confess, I was really grateful not to preach last week. I find Easter the hardest Sunday of all the year to preach, because I always just wanted to get up. I was in the church 27 and a half years, and every Easter I wanted to just get up and say, y'all know what happened today? Yes. Great. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, let's sit down. Let's go. You already know the story. You already know what's happened, right? Jesus did not just preach about resurrection. Jesus is resurrection and life. Jesus did not just call upon God to raise Lazarus out of the tomb, to raise a little girl from death, to raise and heal Simon's mother-in-law that was on her deathbed. Jesus is the new life. He is the one who turns our mourning into dancing. That seems strange, doesn't it? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get in the throes of grief so deeply. But God can turn those around into dancing and joy. God forgives our poor choices in life, frees us from our old habits, so that when the delineation of Easter celebration happens, that we don't fall back into doing life as usual, but we are set free from life as usual to live it in a new way anticipating the newness of God, it is amazing the things that happen because of Easter. So our gospel story today continues on the second week of the Easter season in Eastertide, right where they were, still in the upper room. Had they hid there for a whole week? Did they have enough food? Did they go out for water? Did they show their face in daylight? I don't know. But here they are in the house in the upper room, locked away in their fears. Have we ever been locked away in our fears? Jesus comes to them, and right away, he says to them, "Peace be with you. Settle down, settle down. Peace be with you." And then he does the most odd thing. He breathes on them. You know, in the post-COVID season that we live, when somebody breathes on you, I don't want to get Jesus germs, right? You know, I mean, we're a little bit of germophobic in our culture right now because we don't want people to breathe on us. The disciples had a choice, right? They could have held their breath. They could have let that breath of Jesus, the risen Christ, pass on by. But I wonder if that breath lingered in the room. So even if they had tried to hold their breath, we know logically the body will pass out and start breathing again. So Jesus' breath was going to fill them. Every fiber of their being, every cell of their body, that Holy Spirit is going to breathe into them. Goodness, how has God breathed into you this Easter season? To every cell and every fiber of your being. This is a most impactful spiritual formation story. It's foundational to how the good news, the gospel of Jesus, the risen Christ, comes into our humanity and forms us differently on the inside, simply by the power of God's breath. Now, we may not have Jesus standing right here to breathe on us, but the Holy Spirit is here, and maybe Jesus is standing here, breathing on us. Do we hold our breath, or do we take a deep breath and let the power of God breathe into us? Jesus really, really, really wants the disciples to understand how the Holy Spirit is alive and unleashed upon the world, upon humanity. You know the text from John 3:16. Do y'all have that one memorized too? You had the resurrection cheer, so I thought maybe you had that one memorized too. You know, because I'm sure if I started, you know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So I retired from the United Methodist Church January 1st of this year. Yay! And I still do all of my ministry business, a little bit less, but not quite so much. And one of the things I did as soon as I retired was jumped into, wait for it, are you ready? I'm taking a Greek class, Koine Greek, so he, you know, the Old Testament Greek class I'm taking, it's very hard. But that word for world is cosmos in Greek. Now, the thing about Greek I've learned is it does not equate, like cosmos equals world. That's true, but that's not all it equals. Cosmos equals all of God's creation. Cosmos equals humanity. Cosmos equals the universe. So God so loves humanity. All that God has created, this entire universe, that Jesus died for us so that he could breathe upon and within us. I already confessed that Easter is my hardest day to preach because I don't know what to say. So I'm going to turn to TV. Had anybody ever seen the, it's not on broadcast stations anymore, but it's on streaming. Have you seen Bull with Jason Bull? He's a trial scientist, and what he does is he prepares people for the trial that someone has to go through. He prepares the defense witnesses so that they can recall as much as they can recall. And the thing I learned from that show is the best witnesses are first-hand eyewitnesses. There are also people that are open to really noticing what is around and within them, what is happening. And those eyewitnesses are not afraid to get involved. They're not afraid to investigate. So when I think about this gospel reading this morning, that John, in the Gospel of John, is encouraging us to become witnesses, eyewitnesses, so that we notice our firsthand experience of the breath of God filling us, so that we have that openness, that anticipation, that we're courageous enough to investigate that this could be the Christ. Let's not run away out of fear. So I wonder this day, how are we living after last week's Easter celebration as eyewitnesses to the resurrection? The disciples, even after Mary ran into the room and told them that Jesus was alive last week, that she has seen the risen Lord, they still keep themselves locked up in that upper room until a reading of today, which is really last week's afternoon. It's really Easter afternoon is what we're talking about today. And so I wonder, how do you sit in prayer? I talk to the students that I teach at the seminary, and I talk to them. I say, you know, sometimes we do prayer in, like, I consider it a drive-through prayer. Have you ever been to McDonald's? You know, you say, I'd like to have a Big Mac and fries, and you expect to get that at the next window. Sometimes I wonder if we don't drive through and say, dear God, this is what I'd like. Here's my order. Please fulfill it for me. Or I say to the seminarians, what if we learn to sit and soak in that prayer? Now, I don't mean just sitting, because not many of us can just sit. Maybe it's walking around nature. Maybe it's taking a camera and taking photographs. Maybe it's playing with our grandchildren. How do we soak in our prayer so that it doesn't just come through our mind, but it goes into our heart? It goes in with the breath of God into every fiber of our being. When Jesus was alive on earth, he had intentional, lengthy time of prayer before God. No drive-through prayers. This, on the other side of Easter here, on the other side of last week, how have we transformed our prayer from driving through, possibly, to soaking in God's holy presence. My wonder remains for myself, for y'all. How has the Easter celebration transfigured our daily lives? All the circumstances may look the same, but are we different because of Easter rising? How are you a witness to that difference? How am I a witness to that difference? You know, one of my biggest fears in life, some of you were here last night, so I want to tell a different story. So one of my biggest fears in life is like heights. This isn't too bad. I can do this one. So, but you know, some of the pulpits that make you go up there, you know, I have to preach down in front because I'm so afraid of heights. Well, one summer I thought I had it licked, that I wasn't afraid of heights anymore, and I was driving from here to Bon Secours Retreat Center, which is just outside of Washington, D.C., and the road I had to take takes you through the mountains, you know, and I'm thinking, I am so brave, I am not afraid of heights anymore, I am so brave, and I turned and looked to see what this long bridge was about, and I went, oh, I am not brave. I am not brave. I am not brave. The whole time I was at the retreat center, I was so worried I had to drive back over that bridge, right? Because what I saw when I turned around, not just the depth, but I saw over here this one lonely pillar holding up this road, and I knew I had to drive on that road to get home. I ask everybody, is there any other way I can get back to Ohio? Any other, I can take my time. I can go anywhere. No, that's really going to be your best route. And I was so afraid. The night before I had to leave, we had a Tze service. I don't know if you're familiar with those songs, but they're little short songs that are soaking prayer. And you go to healing stations where you're anointed by prayers. And so I went to one of the stations, and they said, anything special we can pray for you? And I said, yes. I had to drive over this bridge, and I'm terrified. I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night, panic attacks. That's how afraid I am of heights. I called my big brother, told him what was going on. I thought for sure I could convince him to come and get me, and he's like, you'll be fine, drive home. And so at the Tze service, when I told them what I was afraid of, they prayed for me, and they prayed that my eyes would be shielded from the sight of that bridge. So I got to the foot of the mountains, and I went, oh my gosh, don't stop now, just go. And I kept driving, and I kept driving, and I'm here to tell you I never, ever saw the bridge. It's as if the cross of Jesus stretched out in front of me as I drove through those mountains. And I kept saying, it's got to be coming up. It's got to be coming up. It's got to be coming up. Now, one thing happened. I got to one point, and there was a deer in the middle of the mountains on the top of this mountain standing beside the road. I also don't like deer at night because I'm afraid of hitting one. But there it was, and it looked at me. It almost like waved at me going by, you know? And the next thing I knew in my rearview mirror, I was descending down the mountains, and they were all behind me. For me, the hand of Christ did exactly as that prayer asked, to shield my eyes, stretch out before me so I could drive home. What's your story? What's your witness of how the living Christ is truly a presence in your life? May we become eyewitnesses for the resurrection. Amen.